I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with us.
Good morning.
Oh, boy. So I really want to talk about Benjamin Netanyahu's visit.
Continuing tour of the U.S.
Yeah. Is he gone yet? Is he still here?
I do not know.
Yeah. So we watched the congressional address that he made on Wednesday. And I'm telling folks here, because we talked about this a little bit on your show yesterday, Hatch Attack Hour. Hours. The Hatch Attack Hours, similar format, some nice grooves in the beginning there, and we move into some political conversation.
10 to 12.
And that was not a swear word, that was a sigh. Just for everybody listening, it was a sigh that sounded like it was a SH, but I did not. it's 10 to 12 on Fridays, and we're just getting going here. It's been a really long week, y'all. We've been working really hard to bring y'all some updates on what's going on in politics.
I said yesterday, Wednesday felt like weeks ago. Now it feels even longer.
And things have happened even since I saw you last night. Mm-hmm. Even since I saw you last night, we have new headlines from...
All the time now. Yeah. It's too much. It's too much.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate all the listeners tuning in. Why don't we... So I'm going to check. Can you push that button for me right there? So we have some clips today, and we're just gonna blast through just this whole circus. This whole circus that is the political sphere. So my feelings when we were watching Netanyahu address Congress as a... looks like a wrestling star coming down the aisles with all his back pats and cheers and woots. And we, you know, I said we talked about this on your show, because for listeners here who didn't hear your show, we're just, it's a little confusing to me because we've talked about it quite a bit. And I want to fill y'all in because you might not have been here yesterday. And the people who were here yesterday, appreciate you, love you. And it's going to be still be fun. We got new pieces of I was about to say evidence of the collusions that are going on.
Yeah.
So it looked wild to me. And I was like, why is everybody in American Congress doing this? Well, it turns out that everyone wasn't there, that it was only about half of each party that was present. We had quite a few representatives that were not... that were what they call boycotting.
Yeah.
So we were missing people like Nancy Pelosi, AOC. We were missing people like Bernie Sanders and, Cori Bush, you know. And again, I'm just going to give it way up for Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah.
I mean, she showed up with her war criminal sign. The cameras made that we watched on C-SPAN. Diggity and I watched on C-SPAN. Where'd you watch it?
I think I PBS broadcast after the live was over on the PBS YouTube channel.
And I'm asking like this because I'm wondering what you saw versus what the cameras that were focused on our broadcast saw.
Right.
Did you see Rashida Tlaib with the with the sign?
Mm-hmm. Both sides of it.
There were two sides.
Mm-hmm. One said war criminal, and I think the other side said ceasefire.
Wow. There, at one point when Netanyahu was making his comments about, the barbarism that Palestinian, I mean, I'm going to say people, but he wasn't using words like people, you know, and it was a lot of very harmful rhetoric, and they focused on Rashida, and she looked like she was crying to me. Like her face was really distorted and there was an empty seat next to her. And I was like, where's the squad? Where's the crew? And, you know, and then at the end, they showed her again, like having a really heat. Did you know it was her birthday that day? Matter of fact, I sent you the link on Instagram.
It was her birthday?
It was her birthday. That's why I sent you the chart. So that's another wild thing. Like this is, she's the only Palestinian person in Congress and she's sitting there by herself with these signs on her birthday facing down the war criminal that's genociding her people, that the country that she's living in and representing people as civil servant in are all around her clapping and cheering
the
war criminal,
the genocider. And that's her sign said war criminal on one side and guilty of genocide on the other side. So it's even harsher than a ceasefire, which is good.
Yeah.
We're past that.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And so in that chart, I'm going to look at it with you. The astrologer who was talking about it was saying that she's got a stellium in Leo. Mm. And it's often that Leo's, it's not that they are trying to be seen, it's just they can't not.
Right.
And, you know, when you're doing things like this, putting yourself in front to be a voice for people who are being slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And other people. She was literally in the lion's den. She was a lion in the den. Oh, wow, man. Wow. All right. Well, I was like, where are all the other people at? You know? And so yesterday we talked on your show. We played the clip from Bernie Sanders addressing the Senate floor on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I had taken a lot of clips from that. And as I was listening to them again this morning, I picked up a couple of little things that I thought he couldn't have known the day before. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play the first one, which is where Sanders opens his remarks on the Senate floor by saying how disgraceful this whole event is.
Madam President, tomorrow, Wednesday, will be a unique moment in congressional history. Throughout the many years of our country, leaders from dozens of countries with all kinds of political backgrounds and persuasions have been invited to address a joint session of Congress. To the best of my knowledge, however, tomorrow will be unique in bringing Prime Minister Netanyahu to address a joint meeting of Congress. It will be the first time in American history that a war criminal has been given that honor. Frankly, this invitation to Netanyahu is a disgrace and something that we will look back on with regret. With this invitation, it will be impossible, with a straight face, for the United States to lecture any country on earth about human rights and human dignity. Madam President, as you well know, along with Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar and several others, Prime Minister Netanyahu has been credibly accused of war crimes by the International Criminal Court, the ICC. That court may soon issue arrest warrants for Sinwar and Netanyahu.
Senator Bernie Sanders on the floor on Tuesday, prior to Benjamin Netanyahu's visit. He said it. I've said it. I'm not going to say I didn't say it. I've said it before that it's disgraceful. You know, Little Queen Trashmouth brought up a very interesting point. And that's...
Yeah, when he said, we've never in history had a war criminal address a joint session of Congress, I said, except for our own presidents.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge the hypocrisy across the board and the silence on all of these issues, which is what these protesters and everyone out right now speaking about the apocalypse, the pulling back of the veil, that things are all being revealed. And we've known so much of this. I can't stop wondering, being here, doing so much on stolen land, how this must look and feel to the indigenous people of this continent. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and, you know, it's just terrible. It's just talking out of all sides of your head, not even both sides of your mouth. It's just... Yeah, you know, the hypocrisy is blatant. So So then Netanyahu, you know, decided to take this. He took the podium and he did some very strong rhetoric to justify it. To me, it sounded like a grant briefing.
Project updates.
Project update, a fiscal quarter,
yeah,
you know, review. He listed all the events since October 11th from October 11th forward that happened. For those of you who hadn't seen it, I had intended, I recorded the whole thing. I had intended to bring clips from that as well, but I didn't get to it. And I really can't like give that person any airtime anyway. Like, I don't even want his voice on my show. But he really was listing out, on this day you gave us this amount of money, mm-hmm. and we did this with it.
Yeah.
You came, you know, and this happened, and then we did this with it. And now if you give us more money,
we can do this with it.
Yeah. And finish the job.
Yeah.
And said a lot about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And American protesters or proxies.
Are funded by Iran.
Yeah. And it was very insulting that we needed to de-radicalize all the protesters here. It was just way too much. Here's another bit from Senator Sanders that also echoes or is a premonition for how many of us would feel the next day.
But Madam President, it's not just the displacement of 1.9 million people. It's not just the mass destruction of housing. It's not just the obliteration of the infrastructure. It's not just the destruction of the educational system. It's not just the annihilation of the healthcare system in Gaza that we are seeing. It is even worse than that. And I hope that my colleagues who attend Mr. Netanyahu's remarks on Wednesday remember this as they rise time and time again to give him standing ovations. As a result of Israeli restrictions on humanitarian aid, people in Gaza are now starving to death. So remember, when people stand up and applaud, children, women, innocent people in Gaza are now starving to death. According to the best available research, drawing on leading experts from the UN and other aid organizations around the world, some 495,000 Palestinians face starvation. These groups estimate that more than 50,000 children require treatment for acute malnutrition and are at risk of starving to death. At least 30 documented, and I suspect it's a lot higher number than that, have already starved to death. So if you stand up and applaud that guy, remember the starving children.
Remember the starving children. It's just...
Good for Bernie.
Yeah, right. We did this yesterday because I was about to do the thing where I was like, Bernie is not just this. It's not just that.
Right.
Because, yeah, when all of that was getting started and all of this was happening and people were like, this is happening. And it's like, that's not enough. This is happening. That's not enough. People are being displaced 5, 6, 7 mm-hmm. times. That's not enough. And I mean, you literally said it is not just that. And now it's taken these type of numbers.
Yeah.
And an election year.
Mm-hmm.
For you to come out.
Yep.
And be and I just wonder how much of it is the horror of seeing someone like this addressing our government with such passion and, you know, making suggestions.
Yeah.
As to how we will now run our country here.
A lot of suggestions.
Yeah. After that afternoon, right? Was it the same day he met with Kamala Harris, or was it on Thursday?
I do not remember. Sometime in the last 2 days.
Yeah. On the 25th, after her meeting with Prime Minister
Netanyahu. That was the day after.
So then
he addressed Congress on the 24th.
Right. And then he met Kamala that afternoon.
Okay.
they had a private meeting. Some say that it was because she had a previous engagement.
Well, remember that article I sent y'all, you and Diggity, that on July 18th, there was a headline saying that Harris was going to meet with Netanyahu, and this was before Biden had even dropped out. Right. So it's like, if we had, like, anyone who saw that headline could have seen what was then coming Sunday, right? Like, that article came out on a Thursday, and then it wasn't until Sunday that Biden officially announced he wasn't running. But, like, if you were looking at the news headlines of who was agreeing to meet with who, the writing was very much on the wall.
Screenshots are forever.
Screenshots are forever, baby. Did you get a
screenshot of that?
No, because somebody reposted that when I sent it to you in our, I mean, it's probably buried now because we have so much, but I'll find it.
Yeah, no, these are the crumbs.
Yeah.
These are the breadcrumbs when they're like, you need to tamp down the inflammatory language that, you know, there's a mystical they and that this is all fake. It's like,
it's campaign strategists.
It's campaign strategy. You wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Because yesterday it came up, like, we were talking about Kamala being so silent on everything, all randomly for like the last several months, right? And I said, do you think like they knew that she was going to have to step in for Biden and this was strategic and on purpose? And we were like, well, which they?
Right.
And then I later was like, oh, well, campaign strategists. Because again, they don't change.
Yeah.
From candidate to candidate. Like there are people running these campaigns that have been running campaigns since, I don't know, probably like Kennedy, LBJ, like forever, right? Yeah. That are in their, they're very old.
Yeah.
They know, those theys know.
So many theys.
Yeah.
So many days. Well, she's acting quite presidential. And to me, it's not. I mean, I don't understand how we can have the prime minister of another country come over here and act the way that he was acting. And with your hand out. See, the way I was raised, I'm sorry, you go to somebody else's house and then you need something and you gonna come and talk all of this trash about the people who live there. I don't care if it is your scraggly brother from the basement, like outside, you know, with a sign. Like, that's our business. You want how much money?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all of it is just, the attitude was wrong. But they were all smiling, shaking hands. The flagpole tips are, you know, like crossed, and and everybody is, he was wearing lapel pins. For those of you that didn't see the imagery and maybe haven't picked it out of the later on photos, the American flag and the Israeli flag crisscrossed as he passionately addressed our Congress here for an hour.
An hour.
And then went to meet with our vice president.
Presidential candidate
too. Well, she's not officially the
I guess she's
nominee
not.
Yet.
I mean,
she's not.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just saw
anything could happen.
On that note, I just saw, I think it's 25% or 28% of the delegates in Washington state are sticking to the uncommitted. They're going to truly represent the proportion of people that voted uncommitted in the primaries. And vote uncommitted at the DNC. We also have uncommitted delegates, and 10% of our votes should also be going to the uncommitted at the DNC. So maybe we should still be talking about delegates this week my show and who we can call to talk about saying being uncommitted.
I see a side road and I want to turn down it now. Let's talk a little bit about the terror. The terror of the possibility that this whole election is going to go sideways.
In what
because,
way?
Because of all the uncommitted and all of the third party, you see the air quotes, but it's not air quotes. It's real. Like all the people who are voting neither blue nor red. I feel the fear emanating out of the audience. Like, you're throwing a vote away. You're going to ruin the country. It's all going to be our fault. Okay. You know that.
Okay. Well, it already has been. So again, that's not new.
Right.
Already blamed for everything that goes wrong. Also, so first and foremost, if your society is telling you there's only one person that you have to vote for to save you from fascism, it's already here, babe. I really hate to break that to you, but that is not democracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that. And the third party candidate scare tactic boogeyman, like, I remember that rhetoric being so strong and so palpable before I, like, well before I could even vote, like a decade or more before I could even vote. And I'm pushing 40. If we had stopped with that 40 years ago and actually people were voting for what they felt and believed in, where would we be right now? And I don't really believe in kicking cans further down the road. Like, not this time. No, not this time. Because again, that's always going to be the answer in my experience, in my very real lived experience, that has always been, now's not the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now's not the time. Well, when is going to be the time to stand up for what we believe in? If not now, when?
Oh, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house.
And I believe that as well. And that's why I say, you know, do what you can outside of these systems. Again, still vote.
Yeah.
But again, right now, I mean, the master's house is the two-party system. And it cannot be fixed within the two-party system.
Hmm.
Right? In that realm.
Yeah, the very definition of it is not expansive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the very definition. So in these two-party systems, we've had a war criminal foreign prime minister come and talk to both of the presumptive non... All right, he talked to Harris and Trump this week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Trump is the official Republican
nominee. Yes, that is official.
Kamala has been endorsed by several people, including the Obamas and Biden himself.
I know.
After she had her meeting with Netanyahu, who's very concerned about the political pushback and what he called blood libel against Israel, what he called oppressive language and discriminatory anti-Semitic language. A statement from Vice President Kamala Harris, July 25th, 2024, for immediate release. Yesterday at Union Station in Washington, D.C., we saw despicable acts by unpatriotic protesters and dangerous hate-fueled rhetoric. I condemn any individuals associating with the brutal terrorist organization Hamas, which has vowed to annihilate the state of Israel and kill Jews. Pro-Hamas graffiti and rhetoric is abhorrent, and we must not tolerate it in our nation. I condemn the burning of the American flag. That flag is a symbol of our highest ideals as a nation and represents the promise of America. It should never be desecrated in that way. I support the right to peacefully protest, but let's be clear. Anti-Semitism, hate, and violence of any kind have no place in our nation. And that's on a piece of blue paper with some red writing and blue writing on it from Vice President Kamala Harris. And I want to be clear that I agree on the surface with no anti-Semitism, peaceful protest, no association with murderous groups. But that's got to be on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And these redefining of what constitutes anti-Semitism. So we covered that over the past months. You want to talk a little bit about...
Well, and just also, too, what is violence?
Right.
Violence against property is not violence, in my opinion. Anywhere, if it is, it's not on the same level or scale of, again, violence against human beings, which the protesters were outside. They were tear gassed, clubbed.
Very, very much treated violently.
And again, flag burning is protected speech in this country.
Yeah.
There's the Supreme Court, again, for now. But I'm sure this is the beginning of seeing that get pushed on up.
Right.
So.
Well.
That's a fun prediction.
Yeah, that's what this says to me. The removal of the protest camp
at Blinken's house.
Blinken's house.
has been there for 6 months, just got removed yesterday.
Due to the...
They're saying public safety, blocking access. But again, it's been 6 months that these people, this encampment was occupying public space. And now, with the support of this Supreme Court decision that you can be forcibly removed from public space if you are camping there, they have been removed after.
Under that ordinance.
6 months.
Yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, again, Gorsuch said it in his majority, in his majority opinion that protest encampments were absolutely included in this. He carved it out on purpose.
And that encampment had been at Blinken's house for so many months before that decision came down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Since January 26th.
Right.
So like exactly 6 months. And then the decision was what? The week of July 4th, sometime in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty clear that they're making laws around how to squash people's freedom of speech. So let's talk a little bit about our other presidential candidate who was also visited by Prime Minister Netanyahu.
One of the others.
Oh, sorry. One of, thank you. Can you just tell everybody, you know, we have choices.
We have choices.
Where do they find those choices?
You can look into the PSL candidates. That stands for the Party of Socialism and Liberation. There's Green Party candidate, Independent candidate, Libertarian candidate, as well as a Democratic and Republican candidate. At the very least, I'm sure there's others. Again, in 2020, I believe there were 8 presidential candidates on our New Mexico ballot.
Wow. Eight?
Yeah, eight.
But we only have 2 choices.
Right.
Huh. Well, if people hang in there, they might never need to vote again.
Yeah.
Here's some words from Donald Trump. He gave a speech at the Turning Point Action Believers Summit yesterday. This is a far right wing organization. Turning Point was also the people who sponsored Kyle Rittenhouse's speaking tour across colleges of America. If you don't know who Kyle Rittenhouse is, look him up. I'm giving way too much airtime to these dementors. I'm just trying to let y'all know what's going on. All right.
He was an actual domestic terrorist.
Yes. Yes. You just want to tell people real quick where he came into our collective consciousness.
He was a minor whose mother purchased a gun for him, provided it to him. He drove across state lines to violently attack protesters and killed a protester.
In Wisconsin?
Yes.
During the...
2020 BLM, George Floyd.
George Floyd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this organization who got Kyle out of jail... provided lawyers for him so he's off on a self-defense charge, even though he walked past law enforcement officers with a semi-automatic rifle in clear sight, 17 years old, into a protest. And some protesters saw him and tried to disarm him.
Yes.
One person hit him approached him with a skateboard. I don't even think he was actually
hit. I don't think he was either.
Because he shot the person
with
dead.
With the skateboard, yeah.
And then another person was shot and survived. Mm-hmm. And so Kyle was given lawyers by Turning Point people, and his case was made for self-defense, even though the people who approached him felt like they were doing self-defense because...
Right, which they were.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he entered their space with a visible weapon.
Yeah.
Deadly weapon.
Yeah. At a Black Lives Matter protest, he was a white man with a rifle who was not a law enforcement officer. Right. So when he's now on a Second Amendment and self-defense speaking tour. A lot of college campuses that he was on did face... protesters shut him down, booed him out. He faced a lot of resistance, and rightly so. But this organization is a big part of Trump supporters. So we're going to hear what he said at their summit.
You won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years.
It's not coming out of the thing. All right, sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. Nah, it's all right. It's all right. I'll just tell him what he's saying. Stop it there. I don't know why it's not playing through the aux cord here for this this one. But it's Donald Trump is telling the beautiful
Christians.
That's his words. You have to go out and vote. You won't have to do it anymore. 4 years, it will be fixed. It will be fine. You won't have to vote anymore. In 4 years, you won't have to vote again.
Woo!
What do we think he meant by that?
Okay, well, I mean, taking it at face value, which I don't know that there's a lot more to him than that, sounds like he's going to be a little dictator and not... And, you know, use whatever all this crazy stuff that has been put into place, thanks to the Supreme Court, to stay in office, is what that sounds like to me.
Yeah.
It also, you know, his handlers have come out and said he hears bits of things in meetings and then just latches onto them and repeats them, and they get weirder and, like, lost more and further in his own little weird game of telephone that he's like playing with himself. So there is also that. And I don't want to, you know, I don't know. Keeping both of those things in mind, I believe, is important, you know?
Yeah.
He says a lot of things.
He says
that are not real.
In this AP Wire article, at the same conference, Trump said he also asked Netanyahu during their meeting how a Jewish person or a person that loves Israel can vote for Democrats. This is where our election is going right now.
Yeah.
I've never seen mudslinging like this ever that involves talking to actual foreign leaders about our system.
Demonizing an entire political party.
You know,
yeah.
So this article is called Netanyahu Meets with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, offering measured optimism on a Gaza ceasefire. Yes.
Why didn't they meet at Trump Heights?
Right. So let's talk about Trump Heights, which is one of the jarring things that you walked in with to me this morning before I finished my coffee.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I love the way you do
that. The good news is it happened 5 years ago, I guess. I don't know if that's good news. So or not. But 5 years ago, Netanyahu renamed an illegally occupied territory in Syria that was formerly called Golan Heights, G-O-L-A-N Heights. And on June 16th of 2019, Netanyahu renamed Golan Heights Trump Heights in honor of Mr. Trump for his decision to recognize Israeli sovereignty over the territory in Syria. This is crazy.
In Syria,
which, so Israel, see, this is, sorry, let me give you my sources. BBC News article from June 16th of 2019. So let's see. Israel seized the Golan Heights from Syria in 1967.
Jeez.
In March, the U.S. became the first country to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the area since Israel effectively annexed it in 1981. So no one else in the world has recognized this as sovereign Israeli territory except for us, which is why then they named it after Donald Trump, who recognized that sovereignty.
So what are we saying about the ICC, the International Criminal Court?
I do know that the UK just rescinded. They were going to stand against the ICC and resist the warrant.
No.
Under the last guy, the Tory guy that just got ousted.
Okay.
Sunak, I forget his first name, but Sunak, who just got replaced with the new Labour leader, whose name I also forget. But the Labour Party just took over and said that they will support the ICC in pursuit of Netanyahu's arrest. So that's huge and awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where my faith
lies. We haven't done that yet.
Well, so it's because that was my next point. Right. I feel a little scared that we're going to go down with him. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we're, at this point, it feels like we're clinging to a rapidly sinking ship. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing that Sanders said, which is what we've been saying, you can't condemn something and then give billions of dollars funding it.
No, you can't.
And that's what the politicians who are in the spotlight for our election are doing.
Yes.
I condemn you with my left hand. I'm paying you with my right hand. And the American people don't have a say in it.
So many of these things that are getting pushed through our government are not supported by voters. And at first, I also want every listener to remember that like what we're seeing as quote unquote what these Trumpers want and all this is not real.
Yeah.
That is like 10% of the crazy 10%, right? And so again, when you have things like, I mean, abortion's the easy one. When you have a federal government that is working towards a nationwide ban, all-out ban, if Project 2025, Agenda 47, all this stuff, when I think it's like something like 67 to 72% of voters do not want that.
Yeah.
Again, that is not a democracy, my friends.
What are voters ever?
You might be living in a fascist government if.
You know, just take a look. Just check on yourself. You know, and it might seem new, but it's been growing.
It's not new. That's, you know, maybe the fun part, guys. I don't know. It's not fun, but once you do start really like looking at this and where we are realistically, and then realizing that it's always been this, I don't know, it's equally crushing and comforting in weird ways, you know?
Right.
We've gotten through it.
Right.
We will get through it.
Right. And, you know, a lot
who
of people...
Who is, or what is it, who will survive and what will be left of them? That is a different question.
Right. That, you know, that's where I was going down morbid hole. I was like, many did not survive.
Right. And that's and, and that is real.
And we won't. And that's the Audre Lorde quote that I read 9 years ago, 2 weeks ago, here on this show, maybe. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. But we were not meant to survive. That's in that, So Saith the Lord, from Michelle and Diego cello track I played the other day, right? Mm-hmm. They quoted her saying that. She's like, we have to speak. We have to remember that we were never meant to survive. And you know, you just take that to the spiritual bent that I'm on, you know, I just got to get right with God. I get right with whatever's going to happen after this, whatever I'm going to tell myself, should I ever be arrested or really put into torturous situations that a lot of people are living in right now in Palestine, in prisons in the United States. I mean, speaking about John Trudeau, let's talk about the campaign Free Leonard Peltier. Mm-hmm. I mean, that man is dying over there in jail right now. I mean, he's really sick.
Over 50 years.
Yeah. And it's
for a crime that is very easy to prove he did not commit.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ways that political prisoners are treated just from, you know, framed up, presented and demonized to the crowd. And you have to be sure in what you believe inside your heart and that your truth is real, even when they're making false claims against you. And Rashida Tlaib, I mean, you sitting there, tears in your eyes, the only one that day. Everybody else thought it was better to not go than to go and rally.
Right, which is something I've seen discussed a lot, is it better, which is better, to boycott or to go and then show how many people did not stand up for him? I think that actually would have been more powerful because they just filled those seats with little weird like cronies that who knows where those people even came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Besides Elon Musk, we know where he came from.
Right. Yeah, sitting in the back in the balcony behind Prime Minister Netanyahu's wife.
Because he was Netanyahu's personally invited guest.
Yes, we found that out this morning. Through some footage that got leaked where he's walking down the hallway and a reporter asked him if he was invited to be there. And he said, or they said, do you intend on going to this? And he said, yes. And then they're like, were you invited? I was. Who invited you?
Netanyahu.
They're all in cahoots.
Fun.
They're in cahoots. And it doesn't matter
who wins. Well, because he'll get mush heights in wherever, right? Like, you know, like these are, now that I'm seeing that, like, this is what he's doing. Oh, I'll rename this. That's the exact kind of thing that appeals to people like Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Yeah. I wonder if he already has something.
Right.
All right. Well, real quick, I want to talk about how this has always been in the hopes that I'm looking to try to get a little more joy out of life. I don't know if it's possible. It's like a daily thought for me. It's like, and I saw Toni Morrison the other day on the social meets, and she said, this is the time for artists to work. It really is times like these where we're pressed to do the extra hours. And so, folks, this is what this looks like. And sometimes it looks like making some mistakes on the air. Sometimes it looks like being a little tired on the air. But we're working. And radio and media is educational as well as artistic. So real quick, we've got about 5 minutes before I have to do a station announcement. And I'm sure you want to go take a nap.
I have class after this.
Do you want to talk about your class? Are you able to talk about it on the air a little
bit?
Yeah,
I can talk a little bit about it. I've been doing a class series through the People's Forum, which is in New York City, in Manhattan specifically. And it is a progressive, probably more PSL, People's Socialist, or Party for Socialism and Liberation leaning space for sure. Mm-hmm. They're calling it like a summer school series on revolutionary work. And so the first week was all theory, read a lot of Marx. Then last week was how revolutions happen. So we talked about the Bolshevik Revolution and the Haitian slave revolt. Mm. And then this week has been how imperialist wars end. Mm. So today, the title of the class is How Palestine Will Win, is the class today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very interested in your notes on that.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that on the air right now?
I think so. Pretty sure.
It's not supporting Hamas to say Palestine will win. I don't know. I mean, certain words together starting to sound like, I mean, they're just doing this, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because you can't say from the river to the sea.
Do you remember that part of Netanyahu's speech where he's like, they don't even know what river and what sea they're talking about?
No idea.
It was like, what? Sir, he was off the rails.
Yeah.
Off the rails.
Just real quick, we're not going to go deep into this, and I think we should, we'll probably come back to it over the next couple of weeks, but I want to introduce this piece that I came across called Cycle of Collective Consciousness Regression, right? And this is what we were just talking about, even in talking about your class. This comes from red_Ma'at on Instagram, and it talks about exactly this, a cycle that we're in right now. It starts at the top. It's a bunch of 1, 2, 3, 4 octagons, or I don't know, shapes, and they go in a clockwise circle. And starting at the top is systemic pivots. The system adjusts to preserve control, diverting attention from structural change, burnout, and apathy leads to collective consciousness regression. And I could say that's a 12 o'clock position.
Yeah.
Societal norms is the next movement. Social norms and structures intensify fragmentation and polarization, prioritized hyper-individualism versus collective consciousness, fostering isolation and disconnection. Yeah, sounds like we're there. Mm-hmm. Then you have mass awareness. Mass ignorance of societal issues leads to a collective lack of awareness. Impacted communities' outcries are ignored and minimalized. And then you have at the 6 o'clock position, a critical crisis point. Societal problems escalate, becoming severe threats and destroying communities. Community leaders and activists build awareness. Okay, I think we're there right now as well. We're building.
And the pandemic, I would say, was one of those, yes, as well, where a lot of like healthcare stuff that people had been talking about that no one was paying attention to really came to a breaking point.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you had mass activism, massive, unsustainable mobilization, issues trend throughout society, often leading to false allyship, co-opting, and whitewashing demands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was all the clapping and banging pots for the healthcare workers instead of paying them more and getting them PPE.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Superficial change. Token victories that fail to address core issues, perpetrating the status quo and ignoring primary demands of impacted communities. So that's the blue no matter who. Mm-hmm. We're not good. We don't even have a new policy or any real idea for change. But look, she's a black woman, and look at what's different here. And we're just going to have you hurry up and wait and kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
And then we circle right back to systemic pivots. System adjusts to preserve control, diverting attention from structural change. Burnout and apathy leads to collective consciousness regression. And that's where I came to when I was like, when you get your top cop in there, you're going to have to fight her for your rights now. She's got good cop, bad cop, all in one person. I think Kamala's good at that.
Yeah. She's not like all the cop tropes.
Yeah.
Renegade. It's like kind of all of it.
Stern,
which is kind of mom, not good.
but really, she will shut you down. You know, I don't know what we're hanging on to here. Lil Queen Trash Mouth, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
It's truly my pleasure.